Good morning and Happy New Year to those of you who are here with us in the building and those who are joining us online. I hope that you have had a wonderful evening. You all look refreshed, like you've had a good night's sleep. Went to bed early at 10 p.m. likely. Of course, I kid. It's the only time I've ever stayed up till 1 before preaching the next morning. But Happy New Year to all of you. And I believe that we can say together that God has blessed us in this year that we've looked back on despite its many trials and maybe some of the hardships that we've gone through, not only as a nation, but also as a city and a congregation. But as we look forward to the year that God has given to us in his grace, we know that he will be again faithful. He will be again good. He will again evidence his love to the church. And so we turn then to the book of Lamentations. It's in the notes that have been provided for you. And today we'll be looking at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. Important here is the context of this book. Lamentations, of course, lament, meaning to be sorrowful. In Israel had lost their inheritance due to the Babylonian invasion, and they no longer had a land, they no longer had a Jewish king, and that all of what they had thought was theirs now belonged to Nebuchadnezzar. But yet we, as we just sung, it was not the land that was their portion, it was God that was their portion. And Jeremiah takes heart in that, and we see that in verse 21. Let's read in unison these few verses. We say together, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him." As we reflect on the year that we have just come through, what can we say about the year 2020? There is a common joke, if you were to go on social media or to listen to maybe the news or the radio, that, oh, well, we just can't wait for that calendar to flip over, that we could be done with this year and that we can move on to greener pastures. The sad reality is that for many, maybe even of us, but many especially in this world, that it's not a joke. That for some, this year has been extremely difficult. We, of course, remember that on January 25th of 2020, just a few days into the year, the first reported case of COVID-19 was found in Canada. In March, due to the spread of this virus, we experienced a shutdown with which we have become all too familiar in this province. We know that the economic impact of having no economy during these shutdowns has been devastating to small business owners, to single-parent homes, to those who have had little wealth at the beginning of this virus's spread. Sometimes the weight of the pressure, the financial burden, has been overwhelming. We know that 2020 will also be marked by widespread racial division. We, of course, remember the death of George Floyd in the city of Minneapolis and the resulting riots as a consequence of that. Not to mention wildfires in Australia and California. There was a crash of the stock market. Remember that there were so-called murder hornets that reached our shores at one point. There's an explosion in Beirut. The list goes on. Yet one of the unspoken consequences of this year has been a widespread jump in depression. More people struggle with depression. More people struggling with anxiety. Suicide has even been up. This year could be characterized by the word lament. To lament is to express one's grief or one's sorrow. If you read the book of the Psalms, you will know that 42 of the Psalms are called Psalms of Lament. Roughly 28% of the book is the psalmist pouring out his heart in sorrow to the Lord. And if you notice, the book with which we just read our scripture, from which we just read, is entitled Lamentations. And in this short book, 5 chapters, Jeremiah is lamenting over the state of Jerusalem. If we were to put it in our own common language, his heart is broken about what's taking place in Jerusalem. And maybe we come into 2020 in a similar way. Maybe we're burnt out, we're burdened, maybe we're depressed. For a lot of us, we're just sad at the way things have gone. The question then is, for all of the church, where do we turn for our comfort? And sandwiched in the middle of this book of sadness is comfort that's meant to lift up even the most broken of souls. And that comfort is that God restores his faithful people to a good hope. And we see this in Jeremiah's argument. If you look at the sermon notes, I've given you just 4 points, and we'll have a short meditation on these 4 points. But the first thing that Jeremiah mentions is, it's by God's grace that things are not worse. His grace, it's by God's grace that things are not worse. His second point is that even in the depths of affliction, we experience God's divine favor and promise. Third, God is and ever will be, no matter the circumstance, the happiness of those who trust in him. And fourth, those who trust in God do not trust in vain. I'd like to just look at point one. It's by God's grace that things are not worse. If you were to go home this morning and you were to read through the book of Lamentations, you would be confronted with the deep despair in Jeremiah. His despair is so deep, it seems to threaten to overwhelm the prophet. But if Jeremiah was to look to his life situation, if he was to look to his political leaders, or even his countrymen, would Jeremiah have cause for hope? The answer is no. John Calvin makes this point in his commentary. He says, even that being oppressed with evils, he, that's Jeremiah, was almost lost and was also nearly persuaded that no hope of good anymore remained. And herein lies the first lesson that we can take for us in 2021. Hope does not reside in our earthly prosperity or success. Hope does not reside in our earthly leaders. Hope comes from a divine source. You notice those words in verse 21. He says, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." He needed to direct his thoughts to God for consolation in times of great need. And as the prophet considers the Almighty God and God's grace in dealing with his people, he says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed." What the prophet is teaching us is that when we are in times of distress, we should, for the encouragement of our faith and for the encouragement of our hope, observe that which is for us and not always only that which is against us. What is for us? First, the prophet says, the mercy of God is for us. He gives thanks for the mercy of God. Beloved, we are sinners before an almighty God. Before salvation, the scriptures describe us as people who are haters of God. But despite this reality of who we once were, we are not consumed. Though we are not owed any good thing, we receive good things. More than this, we receive wonderful and glorious things in Christ. We are made partakers in his obedience. We are made partakers in his eternal life. If you are established in Christ, you cannot be moved. You cannot be destroyed. And you cannot be consumed. Thus, the church in times of war, the church in times of occupation, the church in times of pandemic, the church in times of trial, the church in times of persecution is like the burning bush that Moses saw. It is burning, but it is not consumed. The Apostle Paul taught this very same truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed." Dear brothers and sisters, does not God so preserve and keep His church? He gives thanks for the mercies of God that preserve us despite the trials that we may experience in this life. The second thing that that Jeremiah gives thanks for this point is he gives thanks for the source or the fountain of those mercies. He says it's the Lord's mercy. If you were to follow the stream of mercy that so preserves and keeps us, if you were to go to the fountain or the source of where that mercy comes from, you would find that this mercy or the source is God. And I want you to notice, brothers and sisters, that our English translation puts mercy in the plural. It says the Lord's mercies. God has many mercies to give to the church. He is an inexhaustible fountain of mercy. Dear friends, if it wasn't for God's mercies, we would have been consumed long ago. Yet we are not consumed. We are out of the grave. We are out of sin. We are out of death. We are out of hell, not because we were not dealt with according to our sins, but according to the mercy of God. When we dwell on this mercy, what do we realize? We realize that we have exceedingly more than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm serious when I say this. What trial in life can take away the love of God in Christ Jesus? I know that many of us have had various trials this year, but I want you to see that by God's grace, He's given you so much in the cross of Christ to be thankful for. Secondly, even in the depths of affliction, we experience divine favor and promise. The prophet Jeremiah grounds this mercy in the unfailing compassion of God. He says in verse 22, "Because His compassions fail not." In the book of Lamentations, they had previously complained that God had not pitied them and was indifferent and cruel towards His people. That's in chapter 2, verse 17 and 21. But what the prophet demonstrates with this clause, "His compassions fail not," is that you cannot dam up the mercy of God. God never fails in His purposes of grace. His compassions fail not. Even when God is angry with Israel, even when He is displeased with the sin of our world, even when He visits our nations in judgment, the rivers of His mercy are constantly and fully flowing. For some of us, there's a habitual sin that constantly nags us every day. We know of God's law. We know of His anger with sin. We know that He has a will for us to change our lives, yet we still sin. There can be a tendency to run from God. We run from Him out of a fear of His holiness, a dread of His judgment, a distaste for His rebuke. But dear friend, His mercies never run out. No, it says even more so, they are new every morning. Every day there are fresh instances of God's compassions towards us. But every morning, it says in the Scriptures, He comes and he visits and He tests every man. That's Job 7, verse 18. But for those in Christ, there is mercy for every sin. There is grace for every failure. When every other comfort fails, God's compassion does not. Although we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the standard of God's holiness, we ought not to despair. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided for us mercy. Not mercy only once, but mercies that never end and mercies that are ever fresh. God's mercies never fail. They are always continuous and ever fresh to us. And so Jeremiah sings, "Great is thy faithfulness." When someone says that another person is faithful, what we mean is that that person is trustworthy, that they keep their word. Our God, says Jeremiah, is trustworthy. When he makes a promise, he's faithful to fulfill it. What promise in the scripture has God been faithful to fulfill? Well, we as Christians know that he's faithful to fulfill all of his promises. But of particular importance is the promise of salvation, from which all other promises and blessings flow. And way back in the beginning, God promised this to Adam and Eve. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." He promises Satan, "And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This prophecy speaks of the coming of Christ. This prophecy speaks of the salvation that will be purchased upon Calvary's cross for the church. God is faithful, beloved, to save all of those who come to him by faith in Christ. He is faithful to work all things together for the good of the church. He is faithful to fulfill every promise of his word, faithful to raise the dead, faithful to receive us into everlasting life, not by our own merit, but because of his mercy, and his mercy alone. We receive that divine favor even in times of trial. The third point I'd like to mention to you this morning is God ever is and ever will be the happiness of those who trust in him. It says in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I hope in him." Portion just could be simply translated as your inheritance or your share in something. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 10, in the divisions of the land, the tribes each got a portion of the land of Israel, but the tribe of Levi did not receive a portion of the land, for the Lord was to be their portion. But as you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that the inheritance was an important thing in ancient Hebrew society. The land that the family was given by God to his children, and the law stipulated that it must remain in the family. That's Numbers 36. And the property of inheritance could only be given to a son of legal marriage. And if not to a son, then be given to the eldest daughter, on the condition that they would marry within the tribe. If a widow was left without children, the nearest kin on her husband's side had the right of marrying her, which is, we know that story in the book of Ruth. And if no one married her, the inheritance went to the next of kin. This inheritance was to be protected because through this inheritance, God was going to provide for every tribe and every family in Israel, and it was each family's happiness and each family's comfort knowing that God would provide for them through this means of land. But the context of Lamentations is Babylonian captivity. This inheritance is decimated. Every piece of land in Israel belonged to a foreign king. The land is gone. My family's dispersed. The king is dead. The inheritance is gone. So when Jeremiah sings, "The Lord is my portion," it is as if he said, even when all I have in the world is lost, my liberty, my livelihood, and almost life itself, yet I have not lost my God. Earthly portions are perishing, but God is our portion forever. We should pay careful attention to, at the time of captivity, that the inheritance of the tribes is mentioned in the middle of this book of lament. Jeremiah turns a tragedy into the triumph of faith. God has never failed Jeremiah in the past. God has promised to remain faithful in the future, and he will receive his inheritance, his happiness, his blessing in Christ. therefore, in Christ, and no matter the loss, he and we can say, if I have him, I have enough. I will stay myself upon him. I will encourage myself in him when all other supports and encouragements fail me. He is our happiness in all times, and forth and quickly, those who trust in God do not trust in vain. I don't believe it's wrong to say that our world has been in turmoil this year, and all you have to do is read the news every day to learn that fact once more. And more we have seen the lunacy or the folly of putting our trust in this world. We see the folly of putting our trust in this our governments, our vocations, our circle of friends, our wealth, or our possessions. These things are good, but they bring no lasting satisfaction. This year, I think we can agree with the writer of Ecclesiastes. It's all vanity. What lasting value does any of this have? But Jeremiah says there's one thing that's not vain. There's one thing, despite captivity, despite trial, despite pandemic, despite whatever it is we may go through, there's one thing that has lasting value. It's not vain to trust in God. He says, the Lord is good for those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it's good that one should hope and wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. You know, at times this year has felt so long. Trouble seems to meet us all the time. I think now more than ever, Christians are really, truly longing for the return of Christ. And yet we must wait patiently for the Lord to return and to deliver us. But the point of Jeremiah here is to say, in that trial, in this context of occupation, it's good for the believer to seek the Lord, to wait on God, to desire his presence and his deliverance. Don't you think that message is true for us today? As we maybe await the end of a lockdown, the end of a quarantine, maybe you await vaccination, whatever it is, it seems that we're looking forward to something. You remember what I said? You just can't wait to turn the page on 2020. Can't wait to put this year behind us. You're looking forward to something. Jeremiah says in that time that we're looking forward, as we're waiting, it's good to seek the Lord. We might ask, well, how does one seek God? Well, first, in order to seek God, one must seek him in faith. If you try to seek the Lord without faith, you will not find him. You need to look expectantly to the fulfillment of his promise of redemption, salvation, and return. We must seek him in faith. Secondly, we must seek him in prayer, daily confessing our need and love for him. And then we relish in the God who is our portion. And third, in order to seek God, we must seek in order to find. Meaning what it means to seek is to set one's mind and heart upon God. It's the focusing of our affections upon him. And God has promised that all those who seek him will be met with a marvelous loving kindness. And here is my application for our new year. You know me, you've listened to different sermons by me in the past, you'll know that typically after each point, I try to keep solid blocks of application for the congregation. Well, today that's lacking because I think there's one application that I'd like to challenge you with this year. That's sort of a spearhead into the year as to how we're going to meet the challenge of a new year. As we are waiting, my challenge is that we would seek the Lord when we have so much time on our hands. You see, setting of the mind and the heart upon God is the opposite of mental coasting. To seek God is to make a conscious effort to draw near to God. So the challenge is, for those of us who are quarantined or in lockdown, those of us who are laid off, or to anyone who's waiting restrictions to be lifted, whatever it is that you may be waiting for, use this time to seek the Lord. Relish the inheritance that you have in Christ. Set your affections upon God, and you will find in Him all that thrills the soul. And I believe that despite the many challenges that you may face, that you will agree with Jeremiah that it is good to seek the Lord. It is good to desire His presence and to know Him more and more, to wait and to trust for the deliverance to come in Christ Jesus. Well, in conclusion, beloved, God has been gracious to us. He's evidenced that all of our lives. There have been many instances this year that have evidenced God's judgment upon this world. But yet God's turning of judgment into blessing for the church is not evidence of His curse, but is evidence of His love. He's given us a good hope. There is redemption for the church. There is redemption for the creation to come in Christ, but now we wait. And thus, we are to seek the face of God, knowing that it's good to know Him, good to seek Him. And we will know as we do so. There'll be a confident assurance that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor coronavirus, nor poverty, nor depression, nor anxiety, nor loneliness, nor lockdown. No, not any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I can go into this year, and I believe you can too, saying, hallelujah, God is good, and He has been faithful. Amen. We'll have a word of prayer, of God's blessing on His word, and then we'll have a congregational prayer. We'll do both. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this year that we've had. While the world seems to curse this year that You've given us, and they are very thankful to turn the page on this year, we look back on the year of 2020 and we give You thanks for Your love and Your mercy towards us. And how despite the various trials, God, You have been good, and You've given us a hope to look forward to. And so, Lord, as we come into this year, we look forward to Your coming again soon. We give You thanks that though we are in this world and this world is not our home, that we have a hope to look forward to, while so many don't. And so, Lord, we pray that this year would be marked by a desire of communion with You, Lord. That as we just sang in Psalm 73, that You are our eternal portion. You are our eternal happiness and blessing. So let us not put hope in these worldly means. Let us not put hope in the things that so delight the eyes and the flesh. But Lord, let us take hope in that which delights our souls. That is, that which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, bless this church as we go into 2021. We pray that this would be our story, this would be our song, that God has been faithful, and we love Him for all that He's done for us in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.